You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Of the show, we have Michael Llewellyn here to talk about their new album, I'm Gorgeous. Morena to you, Michael. How are you?
Morena to you. Yeah, very good.
I'm glad. You don't speak Portuguese, do you?
No, I don't speak Portuguese. A little bit of Spanish, but no.
Oh, a little bit of Spanish, eh?
Not a lot of Spanish.
Is that from high school?
Just been a few months over there in Mexico.
And, oh, Mexico?
Yeah.
What drew you over there?
An adventure, I guess. Go eat some good food, listen to some music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you see, I have friends who have been to like Guatemala, Mexico, Nicaragua, and they really loved it. Do you think you'll see yourself going back there?
Funny you ask that. I mean, my partner is just upset. Like, she says her heart lies over those ways. And we're pretty set to, we're wanting to move over to Mexico City next year. Go have an adventure for a couple of years, see what happens.
Interesting thing about Mexico City, because it's built on what was a huge lake, right? And that lake used to be a city called Tenochtitlan. You familiar with that?
Yeah, do you know the story about how they knew where to build the city?
No.
So they were told...
These are Aztecs, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
The indigenous culture, hundreds of years ago, they were told to build their city where they found an eagle eating a snake on a cactus.
Oh, and that's where the flag comes from.
That's where the flag comes from, and they saw that happening on top of a lake. So they're like, oh, we have to build on top of the lake. There you go, Mexico City. It's crazy.
It's so cool. It's so cool. A floating city, man. I can't imagine it. It's so awesome.
Such a good story, yeah.
Yeah, very almost like kind of biblical kind of stuff there. All right, we're here to talk about your new album, I'm Gorgeous. In a promo shoot for the album, you are against a red background atop a red plastic Caroma kind of hourglass-looking stool. Now, did you grow up with those? Because I grew up with those.
I grew up with the same red stool, but in white.
In white. Yeah. Kind of off-white, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of off-white. It's so homely to sit on for a photo shoot. But no, didn't grow up with those specific ones.
But the Caroma, the stools, though, they're very formative. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. It's one of those funny collective experiences.
An important thing growing up as a Kiwi, I think.
Totally. The bar I work at uses them as, like, spare stools, spare seats.
Right.
Yeah, so I see them a lot. But yeah, I don't know, there's something about them that's just so nostalgic, you know. It's a core memory.
It is.
As they will. It was fascinating to read that you were a teacher aide for quite a while. Were you doing a lot of creative stuff with kids?
Yeah, I mean, most of my work was hanging out with a lot of the kids who had kind of deep behavior issues, messy, rocky homes, so they'd come to school, you know, they'd bring everything with them. So my job was mostly there to hang out with them and try and just gently nudge them in certain directions. And yeah, creativity was a huge part of that, like singing, playing music, drawing. I put together a Pacifica singing group at Newtown Primary School, which is amazing. All these young Pacifica kids who go to church every weekend and sing. That was such an amazing, amazing experience. So I learned all these Samoan and Tongan songs. And,
wow.
Creativity, definitely a lot of that.
And how did that affect your, I guess, did that affect your music making very much?
yeah, I do think so. I mean, I remember actually a story. My mother, she asked herself, like, around my age in her late 20s, early 30s, like what she wanted to do and how she could kind of give herself best to the world. And she thought that she wanted to help kids have good upbringings, because it feels like, you know, if you have a solid foundation in early years, then the flower has better potential to blossom, you know.
Yeah, what's more important, the flower or the soil that grows it, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Good water, good light, the right amount of shade. Mm-hmm. So she actually went on to be a relationship counsellor, because she thought if you could get the parents in a good relationship, then the kid will have the space to bloom. Uh-huh. And that always has kind of stuck with me. So I think that led me to work with kids in schools and try and help the individuals or the people at the bottom. And I think that whole thing has definitely seeped into my music a lot. I don't know, when I write or like there's something about children is always somewhere within my mind. The last song on the album, Pray for Rain, has Avondale Intermediate Choir singing on them, and I wrote that while I was working at the primary school, and just seeing, you know, the potential for fire and destruction in the world, and then hanging out with these kids who just want to smile and play. So it was kind of like trying to understand that world, and then I ended up with the lyric, like, the children in the schoolyard, they're praying, pray for rain, and rain kind of to put out the fires or something.
I see that. So it was kind of it was meant to be. It was something that you couldn't avoid, or something that you had to do is put children on one of your records at some point.
I guess so. Yeah, it was never like a premeditated thought. I just wrote that song, and then when we recorded it, and then I knew once I listened back to the recording, it needed some sort of choir, and then I was working with these kids, and I was like, oh, maybe we could get some kids on it. And then I actually heard a Mellow Downs track that has Avondale Intermediate singing on it, and I was like, that's the sound, and I reached out to the school.
Mean. Shout out Avondale, man. There's the, what's the spider there?
The spider?
Yeah, there's an Avondale spider, apparently. It's like a local species.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really want to go there whenever I go to Auckland next, but that might be for a while. This thing was mastered in LA. Have you spent much time there?
No, other than passing through on some sort of jet plane. No.
I
haven't spent time in LA.
So what was the connection with the, what was it, Almachrome in LA?
Almachrome, yeah, Kelly Hibbert. Well, a few of my mates have had their tracks mastered by him. Also, Paddy, who produced the record, we were looking around, wanted to get it mastered, really. We wanted to kind of shoot for the stars and ended up reaching out to this guy, reached out to a couple people, but this just felt right. So that, yeah, it's funny how you send someone all these songs, you've never even talked to them or seen them, don't know what they look like, and then they master it, and then they send back some files, and you're like, well, that slaps.
That just proves, I don't know, that person is very unbiased and just knows what they're doing, you know?
They know what they're doing, yeah.
I've got a great ear. I want to talk about the track In Ways for a second, because it begins with these kind of little riffing pianos and an audio backdrop of what sounds like hospo staff just talking over a kind of smoko. Is that how the song started when you were creating it, that you wanted to use that sample of the people in that kind of cafe environment?
Amazing. Well, it's actually, I was recording a piano in the house I was living in, and my flatmates were just cooking and talking in the kitchen.
It sounds like a cafe for some reason, but yeah, no, that also...
Yeah, no, I get that. That makes sense. I don't know, I actually was making like a little CD for my, as a gift to give to my partner. This was like 3 years ago, and I made that track, and I had the riff from years ago, and I just kind of put the microphone to the piano, and I started playing that and a couple of other chords, and then I went to my room and just laid all the other tracks on in like the space of an hour, and then didn't really think about the song for a couple years, and then pulled it back out. I brought it to the band, and I was like, oh, we should record this, and we played around with it a bit, and just could never get it anywhere close to the original, so I just gave that to Paddy, he mixed it, and then there we are.
There's another track on here which piqued my curiosity. The track which is called Stalin. What's the deal with Stalin? Why include him on the album?
Yeah, amazing question. I guess to answer that, like, this album for me was, I don't know. I moved to the city and I was reading a lot. My eyes were open to the horrors of the past, I guess, in a way I'd never really read about or looked at a lot. World War II, Russia, Stalin, and just the atrocities of our human past. And yeah. I think I was...
Very recent, you know, past as well.
Recent past and present moment. And there was a a quote that kind of stuck out to me from a Russian writer, which was the line between good and evil runs through every heart. And that was kind of, it kind of blew my mind, because I was like, well, I have the potential to hurt people. How I'm, you know, and that scared me. And I think I was confronted with that. So this album, I think, was me processing that and reaching towards hope. In the end, with Pray for Rain, the song with the kids are very like, well, let's be kind to one another. So to come back to the song, Stalin,
he kind of embodies that kind of viciousness for you.
He embodies that viciousness completely, like the full archetype of Voldemort type of thing. Hell on Earth. So
yeah,
and it is counted. I don't know why I named that song Stalin. It's actually a love song, and my current girlfriend and I met during the lockdowns, and well, no, we knew each other from the past, but we were kind of hanging out with one another again during the lockdowns, and we used to go on these walks because we had the bubbles. You weren't allowed to
hang out with anyone,
but we used to these distance walks, and we just walk up the up around Wellington, and we're talking. And I remember the first time we hung out, she brought up when we were talking about the atrocities of Russia, and and she was talking about a book, Blitzed, which is like Hitler, about Hitler's drug use across his 10, 12 years or whatever. And so then I went home, and a few days later I just wrote the song, and right in the middle of the song the lyrics are, oh, hey there, Stalin, why'd you have to go and kill all of these people just for holding opposing views to you? And I don't know, that's just how the song came about, and it was always called Stalin, even though it's the most kind of loving, like, just a gentle love song on the album.
It reminded me of a song, I don't know if you've heard it, by Scott Walker, called The Old Man's Back Again. Are you familiar with that song?
No.
So that song is dedicated to, I think, the Soviet Union and, like, the early 70s, when things started to get, you know, intense and scary again. It's really worth it. It's worth quite a listen. What else is there to talk about? Yes, there's a bunch of references to like masks and being the man behind the masks, and how masks are kind of a thing to fit in, and people playing out what's expected of them. What is your experience of quote unquote being behind the mask?
Well, I think, and I see this, well, I think we all see this with kids at school and probably ourselves, you know, we put on a million different masks in order to
get by, to fit in.
And, you know, I think they can take us away from perhaps being more authentic or speaking, acting, or doing the things we might otherwise want to do. My younger brother was a dancer at school. He danced ballet and everything, and I remember watching him on stage dancing ballet, just living his, doing what he loved, and I used to feel so uncomfortable watching him, and I felt like, you know, I'm putting on a mask. Oh, ballet's not cool. What are you doing, man? I don't want to be connected.
Yeah.
You're not manly. Like, I'm snowboarding. What are you up to, man? And to me, that's like a fucking mask.
It is. Core. It is.
Because it's like, what am I? Why am I? And now I'm like, ballet is beautiful. Like, I just think, fuck, it'd be so sick to learn ballet. It's like a gorgeous, gorgeous thing. And I think, yeah, take that further, you can end up as like a prison guard of these atrocities of the past, like masks.
For sure, they have to fit into to the regime to just get by as well, you know.
To a degree.
Not going to justify it at all, but...
It's a crazy place where we find a sense of belonging.
It is. And also, I like what you were saying that before about, you know, the banality of evil is that everyone is capable of great good and great harm. And you've got to actively choose every day what you want to do.
Totally. There's a lot of pointing fingers in this world, and I don't know, for me, I'd like to maybe try my best. I mean, I'm not perfect by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but you know, try and point the finger back at myself.
It's a good thing to do, man. Keep yourself in check, and you. What, sorry?
And you.
And me. No, I'm perfect. I'm gorgeous, man.
Yeah. Here we are.
I also like the idea of the track I'm Gorgeous. To me, it read as kind of like a fatal kiss. You know, someone's embracing you, but they're also putting a knife in your back. Because the song, to me, read as betrayal.
Right. You know? Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Mm.
I'm Gorgeous. That's what she said to me just before she shot me.
There you go.
Shot me down, shot me dead. Yeah, but to me, I think it opens with betrayal, but then it's the kind of, it's looking at shame or guilt and finding forgiveness within that. I do love the lyrics to that song, and I'm also lonely all of the time. I feel it in my mind, and my heart is also unforgiving of the stories in my past. I've been a fool, I've been a man behind a mask, just to go out shaking hands. Oh, I'm trying to be a man, but it ain't easy to be free. And then the second verse is kind of an apology for some of the things I've done to myself. You know, I've been a little shit in the past, cheating on ex-girlfriends.
We've all done really terrible shit.
Everything, yeah. You know? And shame fucks you up.
It does. Developing shame as an identity doesn't help anyone. I've been there, done that. It's very redundant. It only makes you worse prepared for anything bad that might happen in the future. You know, you don't learn from
it.
And learning is
the thing. The collective shame of a culture can fuck. That can take... It can cause a lot.
It can. And I think that is might we will maybe leave this chat. Nice light ending there. You are coming to Otipoti on the 19th of June. You're playing at Pearl Diver, which is super exciting. Wait, is it June? Or this? Or, no, June, it must be June. Yeah. Because the 19th was yesterday for May. So that's super exciting. Can't wait to see you in town. Have you got anything that you want to do while you're in Dunedin? Anything specific?
Oh, go out to the coast. Go look at Lover's Leaf or something. Gaze down into the try and see Antarctica. Get some food. Walk down George Street. I studied down there, so it's really like close to my heart. That place for sure. Just walk around. I love the old buildings. We went back a couple years ago, and I was like, far out. The city is so beautiful, but when studying, I didn't even notice.
I know that's the sad thing. I always encourage students to explore the city more because it has so much to offer if you really open your eyes. It's not just a place to get pissed.
It's fucking beautiful. It's gorgeous. I'd love to live down there long term again.
Well, it was lovely having you on the program this morning, Michael. I really appreciate it, and all the best with your upcoming tour.
Appreciate it, man. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Great to chat. All right, folks. That was Michael Llewellyn. We're talking about their new record, I'm Gorgeous, which is now available wherever you listen to your music. We'll have a new segment, of Clowning Around at 9:45. We're going to play the title track from Michael's new record. It is, of course, called I'm Gorgeous. You're listening to The One. I'm Zach Hoffman.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.